All right. Man, I'm telling you guys, Satan's not happy. Anytime you press in and you tell a bunch of people you want to be on mission, anytime you talk about sharing Christ and being light in the darkness, man, the devil ain't having it. And I don't know if that's been your week, but that has certainly been my experience this week. And so I just want to remind you why we're doing this series, what it's all about. I told you guys last week, here's the goal. Okay, it's on the screen. I just want you to see it. We're coming. Come on. Come, there we go. Overcome our disbelief and disobedience to God's invitation to relationship and mission. So that's what we're talking about, right? So that's what we've been talking about. And so last week we looked at the creation story through the lens of invitation. We said, listen, God made us for relationship. He entrusted us with great responsibility. And even when we blow it, it doesn't change the fact that he still wants a relationship with us and he still wants to use us. And so that's kind of where we began. And then practically we talked about our need to obey the Great Commission. And guys, what I said is listen, the Great Commission starts with evangelism, okay? And we talked about, like, we've got three methods of that here. It begins with invitation and then sharing your testimony, your witness, Acts 1:8, Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then actually sharing the good news. The word evangelism is the Greek word for good news, right? Jesus came proclaiming the good news. And so we have to be those people. And so we spent some time on invitation. Somebody said, why, Pastor, why are we just talking about invitation? Because here's the statistic, right? Billy Graham Institute, 80% of the people that come to know, like 80% of the people that come to know Christ were invited to church by somebody. That's the statistic. 80% of the people that come to know Christ were invited to church by somebody. Yet we said, right, and this is the hard one, that 7 out of 10 unchurched people said that they've never been invited to church in their life. We said, that can't be us anymore. Not in our city, not in our church. And I told you, listen, as a pastor, I cannot lead without focusing on evangelism anymore. I can't. I can't do it. It would be disobedient for me to the Lord, okay? So that's kind of where we began. And so I challenge you last week, super easy. Just move from your disbelief in yourself, maybe disbelief in statistics, maybe disbelief in me. Okay, just do it. Just do it and see what happens. And man, some of you killed it. Hal Langley, are you back there? Is Hal in here? Hal, there's Hal. All right. Hal, listen, he's been on the face of the planet a little longer than me. I saw Hal Monday morning. We talked about it Sunday. By Monday morning, he came to XYZ. It was almost 11, and Hal said, I've already invited 5 people to church. So, okay, Hal, you got it. Some others maybe didn't love that message as well, didn't sit as well with them, didn't understand the heart behind it. And I realized, like, listen, spiritual warfare. Right? So sometimes even if I could say it with the best intent, maybe I don't say it the right way. Maybe you don't hear it the right way. So I thought, you know what? Let's take all that out of it and let's show it to you. So here it is on the screen. I want to show you what we're talking about. This is the Great Commission, y'all. It's 2 things, right? Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth I've given unto you. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. We don't baptize anybody without winning them to Christ. All right? So listen, the Great Commission is 2 things. It's evangelism and discipleship. Now, there's our 3-prong approach to evangelism. Number 1, invite. I'm going to tell you why I believe in it so much. Part of it is my own testimony, okay? All right? Number 2, just tell them your story. That's being a witness, Acts 1:8. Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So this is what I know. I was blind and now I see. That's a witness, right? And then sharing the actual gospel, which we talk about the gospel every week here. So as you come, you start to learn it. It starts to flow naturally. Okay, now look at the cross. So we got to share Jesus till somebody comes to faith in Christ. Once they come to faith in Christ, that's the blue stuff. We got to disciple them, right? And then discipleship should always result, next slide, into sending people back into the mission of reaching other people. This is the mission of Jesus, right? I've come to seek and to save the lost. Then he says, you are going to do what I've been doing and even greater things than these, right? So Jesus, seek and save the lost, make disciples. Okay, now here's the cool thing. So this is why I'm not talking to you about the blue stuff. A little over a year ago, the Lord said to me, right? I mean, as I'm praying, as I'm seeking his face, what does the church need? We had to grow in discipleship. It was so clear. Spoke with church leadership. And so this is why we hired Kevin, by the way, who's an amazing disciple. And we've been running side by side for over a year to do this. Next slide, right? So here's how we're doing it. Right? We're doing it. So we've got learned communities. We've had leadership training. We have one-on-one discipleship. We've got 25 to 30 people that are discipling somebody one-on-one. That's good stuff, okay? We're doing the discipleship part, but here's the truth. And I love you. This is why you pay me, quite honestly, is to look ahead, to examine the church. We're largely doing that with people that the Lord is bringing us, okay? With people that just come through the doors. And here's the testimony of these people. I drove by and something told me I needed to come here. Okay? God is good. So listen, we're doing the discipleship part, but listen to me. Let's go to that next slide. But if we're not doing the evangelism part, that's still disobedience to the Great Commission. That's what I'm telling you. So when I say we've got to be obedient to the Great Commission, specifically in this series, I'm talking about our need to get into evangelism, to go out, right? To go out and start sharing Christ, to go out, start telling people, this is what I know, here's my experience, to go out and literally even say, come and see. You say, why do you focus on evangelism so much? Again, go back to that statistic. 80% of the people that come to know Christ were invited to church by somebody. That matters to me. Listen, if I said something to you like this, 80% of the people that live their entire life without an ounce of cancer take vitamin C, 1,000 milligrams, 3 times a day. You would go to the pharmacy right now and buy vitamin C. I mean it. You would. But yet when I say it about evangelism, you don't want to trust me? You're going to say, no, I don't know that I can buy that. I think it's got to be, but here's the deal. Here's the testimony of people that did it this week, right? They went out and they invited somebody. I said, is that all you did was invite them? And they go, no. One guy said, I offered to disciple somebody on the spot. I even told them, you don't have to come to church, but I'll meet with you. I'll meet with you every week. And I'll talk. Like, that's it. Because when we go out with our hearts and our minds focused on the kingdom and focused on seeing people, and our intention is to invite, the other things flow naturally. I'm trying to give you the most simple step of obedience to unleash the heart that Jesus has for people. And even if you don't understand it, I'm going to ask you to follow me. We good? All right, let's pray. I'm in Genesis 12 and 15 this morning. We're going to talk about Abraham. Father, thanks for loving us. Thanks for letting us see clearly what we're doing, bringing some clarity to our hearts and our minds and our mission. God, I pray that you would move in power now. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher of this church. Need you to come and move inside our minds and our hearts in this room. Let us understand who you've called us to be, what you're calling us into, how you want to use us for your kingdom and your cause. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And the Lord said to Abram, he's going to be Abraham. So if I say Abraham, just know that's because that's who he becomes, okay? So I go back and forth all the time. The Lord said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives, your father's house, to the land I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Now, Genesis chapter 15, starting in verse 1. After these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward will be very great. But Abram said to the Lord God, what can you give me since I'm childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram continued, look, you have been given, you've given me no offspring. So a slave born in my house will be my heir. Now the word of the Lord came to him, this one will not be your heir. Instead, one who comes from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and he said, look at the sky and count the stars if you're able to count them. Then he said to him, your offspring will be that numerous. Verse 6, Abram believed the Lord, and it credited to him as righteousness. Three things I want to share with you this morning. Here's the first. I want you to know that God invites us to be his people. God invites us to be his people. This is what I love about Abraham's story. Abraham is a pagan idolater. He comes from a family that worships the moon god, who happens to be called, the name of the moon god, I'm not lying, is Sin, which, because it is a sin to worship idols, like just for us, thank you, Lord, in case we, but God comes to him anyway and says, hey, I want you to start following me now. It's a call to break from everything he knew. I want you to stop doing what you're doing. I want you to start following me, Abraham. Like, that's the call. That's the invitation. Here it is. Chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, go from your land, your relatives, your father's house, to the land that I'll show you. So listen, he's saying, go, leave behind all that you know, leave behind everything that you've placed your trust in, and place your trust in me instead. I want you to come with me, Abraham. I want you to trust me, Abraham. I want to be the one that you rely on, Abraham. And you say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, ready? That word go in verse 1 in the Hebrew can absolutely mean go, but the word also means come. The word also means come. And see, God didn't say, Abraham, I want you to go, and maybe you'll find me. Maybe somewhere along the way, I'll show up magically. He said to Abraham, yes, go, but I'm going with you. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. This is an invitation. God is not just saying go. He's saying, come with me, Abraham. Follow me, Abraham. Come and follow me, and I'll make you the father of many nations. It's an invitation. It's pretty funny that when we get to the New Testament and we see, according to Scripture, the clearest picture of God in the flesh, his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus uses basically the same phrase. This is from Mark 1:17. I put the NIV, I'll explain why. Jesus says, come and follow me. Isn't that what God just said to Abraham? Come and follow me. Jesus says, come and follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people. Come with me. Follow me. And by the way, he's going to say, and I'll be with you. Right? I'll be with you. Now, if you're trans, I preach out of the CSB. I love the CSB. Occasionally, it misses something just a little bit, and your translation may not have the word come in it. It is in the Greek. It is in the original language. The word come is there. Jesus says, come and follow me. God says to Abraham, come and follow me. This Great Commission thing we're talking about, right? We like to focus on that word go. I'm about to rock your world. Go and make disciples of every nation. Guess what? In the Greek, it can mean go, absolutely. It can also mean as you're going, as you're continuing on your journey. A lot of people like to preach that. Just as you go about your day, which is fine. But the word also in Greek means follow. Jesus says, follow me. Do what I've been doing, right? Seek out the lost. Make disciples. Follow me, and I will be with you in the process. This is the story. This is the story. God says to us, come and follow me. God invites us to be his people. God doesn't just invite us to be his people. He also promises to use us for his purpose. He invites us to be his people. He also promises to use us for his purpose. So God says to Abraham, not just go, but he says, come, Abraham, come follow me, come be my people. And then he promises to bless him in six ways. Okay, one of them, you could say seven, but I'm going to count one of them just as one. Okay, so here we go. Verse 2, ready? I'll make you into a great nation, number 1. Number 2, I'll bless you. Number 3, I'll make your name great. Number 4, you'll be a blessing. Okay, Genesis 12:3. Then he says, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who treat you with contempt. And here's the sixth one. All the people on earth will be blessed through you. The whole earth is going to be blessed. This is the promise. Come with me. Come and follow me, and I will use you to bless the world. And Jesus says, come and follow me, and I'll use you to bless the world. Matthew 5:14-16, you're the light of the world now. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they might see your good deeds and they might glorify your Father in heaven. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 2:9. He says, but you're a chosen people. You guys are a royal priesthood. You're a people for his possession, so that you might proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into light. This is your mission now. Go be set apart. Go be light bearers in the darkness. God wants to use you. It's God's design that we would know him, right? That we would follow him, and that we would be used by him to bless others, to call them into the kingdom, right? Third thing, faith is required for both of those things. How do we become God's people? Well, it certainly is not through our family. I love you guys. Some of you, I love it when we talk and you're like, yeah, I was raised in church, or I was raised in a Christian home. My favorite is when somebody says, I've always been a Christian. You have not. Impossible. Don't come out of the womb that way. Doesn't work that way. You might have been born into a religious family, but that you can't get to heaven through religion, okay? That's not how it works. Something had to happen. Abraham had to believe in God, okay? Now, because here's the deal. We say this a lot, right? God's standard for accepting us is not good. Good's down here, y'all. God is holy, holy, holy. His standard for accepting us is righteousness or perfection. And the Bible declares clearly, Romans 3:10, there's no one righteous, not even one. And so what happens typically, God starts to woo us. He starts to put something in our heart. We want a relationship with him. We feel like he's talking to us. And then we have this moment. We all have it. Oh my gosh, I've got to clean myself up. And here's what I'm going to say to you. Can't. Impossible. The Bible says that all of our acts of righteousness, our attempts to make ourselves righteousness, are like filthy rags under God. They fall way, way short, okay? There's nothing I can do to make myself perfect. That's impossible. We're trying to make ourselves better, hoping that counts. Better's not the bar. Perfect is. So listen, then in order to become God's people, because God is righteous, something has to happen for me. I can't do it. Something external from me has to happen to me that I can't do. And the Bible says that this thing that has to happen is I have to believe in God's solution to make me right, which is his son Jesus. And when that happens, God accredits the righteousness of Jesus to me so that I meet his standard and I'm acceptable to God. It's the only way. So in the New Testament, we know that's by putting our faith and trust in Christ. In the Old Testament, Abraham, it doesn't say, and he believed in Jesus Christ. But he believed in the God who would make a way. And it was accredited him to his righteousness, right? He believed in God. He believed in God's plan. So that's where we start. God wants us to be his children. So if we're going to be his children, though, we have to have faith. That's Ephesians 2:8-9. For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. So he had it. But we can't just have faith in God. Like, that's not about just becoming part of his family. If we want to experience his blessing, his promises, we also have to have faith. Guys, Abraham had a moment of not so great faith. Any of you feel like God's calling you to something, you decide to try to just take it into your own hands? Anybody ever been there? Come on. I am not the only idiot in the room. I know we're all this way, right? We all do these dumb things. We're like, oh God, I think, and they're like, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And then you're like, whoa, miss that one. Miss that one. Abraham had one of those moments, right? This man of faith, he's the father of faith, by the way. This is kind of where we say, like that, like this is what we call him, okay? And yet, so he has a moment, he tries to, but listen, for the most part, he says, okay, God, I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to trust you. And what seems impossible to me, I'm going to trust you for this. And God gives him Isaac. And through Isaac comes all these promises of God, right? And it's through Isaac that we learn that there will have to be a substitute for our sake. It's through Isaac that we learn that a substitute will have to be provided, that the substitute's going to have to be a lamb, right? And that the blood will have to be shed as a payment. Like, it's through Isaac that we start to see the full picture of the gospel. But for Abraham to receive the promise, he had to have faith in God. So listen, what I'm saying is you don't just have to have faith to be a child of God. If you want God to use you, you have to believe he can. At some point, you just have to believe he can and he will. Why? Because of who you are? No! Because of who he is. Because he promised he would, and God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. So what do we do? Our culture shift last week, right? From disbelief to doing. Keep doing that, by the way. You're not going to believe it. I don't believe in myself. I don't think I can do it. Just do it. Just do it. Let God give all the results to the Lord. So keep doing that. But here's the shift I want you to think of, okay? Put on the screen. This week, I want you to focus on shifting from being consumers of blessing to being conduits of blessing. This is not all for me. This is for me to share. From consumerism, it's for me, God's blessing me, it's about me, to conduits, this is for them. God wants it to flow through me. God wants to use me. God will use me. Not about me. So God speaks to you as you're reading your Bible this week. Guess what? That's because you're supposed to share that truth with somebody else. Follow me? You have a moment of worship where you are floored by the Holy Spirit. Share that song with somebody. Be like, I don't know what happened, man. It just got a hold. Like, it is not just for you. It is meant to work through you. We good? We've got to make the shift, y'all. This is the mission we've been called into. So what do we do with that? I'll give you some application. I'll let you go. Man, we've flown this morning. Whew. I wonder. I was like, we're not going to get through this. Man, we're going to have some time. Number one, follow God, right? Receive his invitation to relationship. I start right there. Some of you are here this morning, maybe like the stories I shared earlier, you just drove by and you were like, something spoke to you like, hey, you need to be here. And you came. Thank you so much for that. Maybe you received an invitation and you came this week. Listen, God wants to have a personal relationship with you. He loves you so much. He can't, he's God. He can't lower his standard. So he met that standard for you by giving up his one and only son. And Jesus came, God in the flesh, and he lived as a human being on this planet for 33 years, and he never sinned, not one time, so that he would be an acceptable sacrifice for us. He met the righteous requirement of God, and if we will believe that he died for us, that he rose again, we'll put our faith in that. The Bible says that his righteousness, just like Abraham, it'll be accredited to us. And that's how we're made right in God's sight. There's no other way. There's no other way. We can't do it on our own. It's got to be through faith. And so if you're here this morning and you've never put your faith in that Jesus, I'm telling you, today's the day. The Bible says, let today be the day of your salvation. Let today be the day. So we just start there. We'll have a moment in a second. We'll pray together. And if you're like, man, that's something I want. I think God loves me. Maybe you came to that this morning. Man, I pray that you would do this. You say, today's going to be the day I'm going to follow. Okay, number two. You're going to hear it on a regular basis. You've heard why now. I'll get a little personal, but I want you to invite others to come and see this week. Now, here's the things I know. As you invite others to come and see, the other stuff's going to flow naturally. You'll start sharing your testimony. You might share the gospel. And by the way, it's not about you bringing them to somebody that knows more than you. It's about you bringing them into the presence of God, because God's presence changes people. So here's my story. I was not raised in church. I was far away from God. I was not living right at the time at all. I felt I was unlovable. Honestly, if I looked in the mirror, I thought, Jason, you're kind of a big piece of, you guys can fill in the blank however you choose. It's what I felt like. I was out in it that day. I was sulking in it, okay? And this guy that was in my kindergarten class, my first grade, my third grade, my fifth grade, pulled up. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting here and I'm mad. I'm mad at the world. I don't have any beer in the fridge. My best friend's girlfriend's over. I don't have a girlfriend. I'm mad. He said, get in the car. Come with me. He pulled into a church parking lot, and I said some things you should not say in a church parking lot to him. And then I walked in the building, and the people were so loving. And they were so welcoming, but what changed my heart, began to soften it that day, was the presence of God. And people that had something I didn't, and God lovingly pointed out that fact to me, And I wept the whole time. And then these ridiculous people invited me back again. And I came back again and again and again. I'd love to tell you that I changed my life that first day. I am stubborn. I fought it for a year. And then I finally said, yeah. So you know what? You feel like, man, this guy beats me over the head with invitation. It's because my life was changed by one. And I'm telling you, there are people in your life that God has put in your path, and God wants to change their life through that same simple invitation. Do you follow me? I just need you to believe it, okay? So as part of that, I want this to be an encouraging moment. If it's not encouraging this morning, it'll get encouraging by the time we get to the end of this. I believe in you guys, all right? All right, so I said every week, I just want to see how we're doing. I need you to hear me. This is not judgmental. I want it to be encouraging, okay? So last week in this service, we're about 8% invited somebody. I'm going to even add to this a little bit this morning, okay? How many of you this week, I'm not saying they had, remember, they show up, is that on us? It's not on us, right? It's not on us. All right, how many of you this week would say, hey, Pastor, I invited somebody to church this week. I had a gospel conversation with somebody this week. Raise your hand. Just keep them up. It takes me a second to run this. Ooh, I should have had somebody else count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. You guys are killing it. 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38. Oh, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53. Woo, Jeff, my mathematician. All right. This service was at 8% last week. 22% of the people in this room invited somebody to church. Let's go. Let's go. Listen to me. It's going to become natural. If you'll focus on it every week, you're just going to start seeing people with the eyes of Jesus. You're going to start hearing their heart. And even if you don't have all of the words to say, stuff's going to start flowing out of your mouth, and it's going to be so good. God will use it. He used it Wednesday night with our students. We had students inviting other students to thrive. He used it this morning. I've already met visitors this morning. And by the way, your friend invited you to church this morning. That's a good friend. I'd love to meet you and your friend this morning at the end of the service, okay? So good job. Hey, keep it up. That's awesome. 22%. I just wonder, what will it be next week now that we can see it clearly? What will it be next week? I can't wait to see what God does. I have this vision of a church that says, hey, man, we understand what God's done for us. We understand our role in his kingdom, and we're just, every day, we're going to go out, and we're always going to be kingdom-minded. And what happens when a church is unleashed like that, dude? Just watch out, okay? Last thing. I want to challenge you to make the shift this week. What is the shift this week? From consumers to conduit. God speaks to you this week. He has a word for you this week. A worship moment this week. A story that touches your heart this week. That is for you to share and to pour into somebody else, okay? We good? Does that make sense? So you're in your quiet time, and God's like, bam, and he shows up. You're like, whoa! You got to call somebody, text somebody. You're like, my quiet time's at 4 a.m. Don't text him at 4 a.m. Use the little plus button, and it says send later, okay? Schedule that sucker. Give him like an 8:30 or something, okay? God will speak to him after coffee. But do it. Man, just do it and see what God does. Can I pray for you, church? All right, let's pray. Father, man, I'm so thankful. I know we've got some families that are struggling right now. I know that the enemy is against us right now. I'm so encouraged in my spirit at you moving on our hearts. And Lord, I know that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But I see this group of people saying, here I am, God, send me. I'm going to work. Lord, I want to. I believe you can use me. We're breaking out of the lies of the enemy. We're stepping in to the cause of the kingdom. And God, the fruit will come. We know it. We know it. And guys, as we pray right now, we're going to dim the lights, not to freak you out, but every week we want to have an opportunity. I believe every week that the Lord brings somebody here that needed to hear today that God loves them, that he sent his only son to die in their place, and that they can be made right with God through faith, but today you heard it's only through faith. Maybe you walk through the doors and you've been trying to clean yourself up and it's not working and you know it's not working. Maybe you even came in feeling like a failure because of it, but today I told you, no, it is by God's grace that we're made right by God, and it's only through faith in Jesus Christ. To become a child of God, the righteousness of Jesus has to be credited to you. It can only happen through faith. If you're here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus, but you really want to be a child of God, just where you are, just in this moment, Holy Spirit, have your way. Say, Pastor, I want to be a child of God. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know if he can love me. I don't know. Whatever the doubts are, but you want it. Would you just raise your hands? Man, that's me. I just want it. Raise it up high. That's awesome, brother. Thank you. Anybody else in the room? I'm looking around. Just keep that hand up. Yeah, man, I want to become a child of God today. Yeah. Okay. Now here's what we're going to do, man. If you raise your hand, nobody else is looking around, but if you raise your hand, just look at me real quick. Eye contact. Hey, thank you, guys. Just eye contact with me. I see it. I see it. That's cool. You guys can bow your heads again. We're going to pray. This is scripture. It talks about how we become a follower of Christ, how we become a child of God. It says all we have to do is confess our faith. It's a confessional. It says if we'll confess with our mouth that Jesus is indeed a Lord, that means that he's the Son of God, he's the solution to our sin problem, and we'll believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, that he's conquered death, that he's everything the Bible says he is. If we'll just believe it in our heart, that we'll be saved. Okay? So we're gonna pray this confessional prayer together. You guys that raise your hand, wherever you are, maybe you didn't even raise your hand, but you want this in your heart. We don't want you to feel alone, so we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray with you. We don't want you to feel alone. We're also going to pray out loud because we're training ourselves up to go out and be light to a dark world. We want other people to know how they can come into a personal relationship with Christ. And by praying every week, man, whether we know it or not, those things are being deposited into our minds and our hearts so that we can go and God can use us, okay? We're being equipped. So let's pray out loud. You guys that raise your hand wherever you are, maybe even if you didn't, but you're like, I want to be a child of God today. Let's just pray. Pray with me. Just say, dear God, forgive me. Save me. Help me. I want you. I've been trying. Enough. I feel it. But today I heard you love me in spite of all my mess and that you want a relationship with me. And that blows my mind. But in my heart, I say yes, please. Come into my life. Take control. Make me yours. Teach me how to live for you now, that I might be your child.